Casino Royale by Ian Fleming continued. Disc 3. Chapter 14. La Vie en Rose? The entrance to the Roi Galant was a 7-foot golden picture frame which had once, perhaps, enclosed the vast portrait of a noble European. It was in a discreet corner of the kitchen, the public roulette and boule room, where several tables were still busy. As Bond took Vespa's arm and led her over the gilded step, he fought back a hankering to borrow some money from the case and plaster maximums over the nearest table. But he knew that this would be a brash and cheap gesture pour épater la bourgeoisie. Whether he won or lost, it would be a kick in the teeth to the luck which had been given him. The nightclub was small and dark, lit only by candles in gilded candelabra, whose warm light was repeated in wall mirrors set in more gold picture frames. The walls were covered in dark red satin, and the chairs and banquettes in matching red plush. In the far corner, a trio, consisting of a piano, an electric guitar and drums, was playing La Vie en Rose with muted sweetness. Seduction dripped on the quietly throbbing air. It seemed to Bond that every couple must be touching with passion under the tables. They were given a corner table near the door. Bond ordered a bottle of Veuve Clicquot and scrambled eggs and bacon. They sat for a time listening to the music, and then Bond turned to Vespa. "It's wonderful sitting here with you and knowing the job's finished. It's a lovely end to the day. The prize-giving." He expected her to smile. She said, "Yes, isn't it?" in a rather brittle voice. She seemed to be listening carefully to the music. One elbow rested on the table and her hand supported her chin, but on the back of her hand and not on the palm, and Bond noticed that her knuckles showed white as if her fist was tightly clenched. Between the thumb and first two fingers of her right hand she held one of Bond's cigarettes, as an artist holds a crayon, and though she smoked with composure, she tapped the cigarette occasionally into an ashtray when the cigarette had no ash. Bond noticed these small things because he felt intensely aware of her, and because he wanted to draw her into his own feeling of warmth and relaxed sensuality. But he accepted her reserve. He thought it came from a desire to protect herself from him, or else it was her reaction to his coolness to her earlier in the evening, his deliberate coolness, which he knew had been taken as a rebuff. He was patient. He drank champagne, and talked a little about the happenings of the day, and about the personalities of Mathis and Leiter, and about the possible consequences for Le Chiffre. He was discreet, and he only talked about the aspects of the case, on which she must have been briefed by London. She answered perfunctorily. She said that, of course, they had picked out the two gunmen, but had thought nothing of it when the man with the stick had gone to stand behind Bond's chair. They could not believe that anything would be attempted in the casino itself.